Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP and Caldwell. And now, get ready for You Are an IP Company.
All right, folks, listen, I am with two amazing friends. They are on fire. Their book's been out for just a little while. And already, I mean, I just got this text, someone holding their book. How does that feel that you're seeing your book and, more importantly, lives changed? What do you think?
It's incredible. I mean, it's such a blessing. It's such an honor to be able to share what we've learned and to get the feedback that it's reframing, repositioning, shifting mindset. It's really cool. It feels like beyond having the business, now there's a little bit of a community around these ideas of getting new levels of freedom and growth. And that's the fulfilling part.
How does it feel to be an IP creator? Because I know that's a big shift that some entrepreneurs aren't ready for. You know, they kind of almost downplay themselves. Oh, you know, we don't really have IP. But I look at your book and I see IP everywhere. Shannon, your co-author, she makes a great, threesome for an author. But how does it feel, Stephen, that you have IP out in the world?
Well, I would say it feels great. And what I would say is what I realized thinking about today in our conversation was how little I actually know and understand about IP and how much it is a who, not how type subject for me. Mm. So I want to just give one a shout out, of course, of you being one of my crucial who's when it comes to this subject. But also what I thought is that was an insight for me is how important it is to have purpose behind our ideas.
Yes.
And IP is just a way of giving more weight and purpose to our ideas.
Oh, that's good. That is good. Well, I kind of view this, guys, that you have the IP in you, but the book writing process almost formalizes it. Was that the case with you? In other words, you've been talking about this, practicing this, your business we'll get into in a moment, but putting it in a book almost makes it permanent or final. Is that your experience, Ryan?
Yeah, totally. I mean, it brings a level of rigor to the thoughts and the ideas that otherwise we wouldn't have applied, right? So the way I think about it is we've backed into or reacted into a lot of IP. And that's been the big mindset shift, Carrie, that I've gotten from you is discovering all of the IP that we've sort of created along the way. The book was, I think, the first mindset shift, the first thing to come out of the mindset shift to being proactive about IP. And so now instead of like, oh, we have these processes or the business is built around these ideas that we've now, you know, built some intellectual property around, as I've learned is the case.
Yeah.
Now we're saying, oh, okay, how do we proactively lean into that and actually create something that's intellectual property for others to enjoy as well?
I'll share it for the people who aren't getting it, which is totally cool because it took me a lot of years. Have you guys read C.S. Lewis, Narnia, or Tolkien, Lord of the Rings?
I've read most of all of C.S. Lewis's work,
okay. But you're familiar.
I've seen Narnia with my kids.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you're familiar.
Oh,
super totally familiar.
So I almost feel like that when I'm creating IP. In other words, no one can tell C.S. Lewis, hey man, Aslan, like you got it wrong. He's not a lion, he's a tiger. Like, and nobody can tell Tolkien, Middle Earth, now it should be called Lower Earth. In other words, when you're a creator, you almost have this power that I believe God gives us to create frameworks like Superpowered. I just was on your website and I'm looking at the Ideal Assistant Blueprint. You know, you named it, and our mutual coach, Dan Sullivan, talks about that the first act of any human was Adam in the garden naming something. So you create a process, you put a name to it. I mean, that's what the government recognizes is that's unique. That's IP. So I feel like your book, as I've read it, it's like every single page is IP. So the fact that you've standardized it, the fact that you have a process, by the way, our team personally has sat on your discovery call process, you know, when we've been looking for the right next assistant, it's fantastic. So maybe you can share with us a little bit about the process. If somebody says, I feel like I'm not super powered, what would be their next steps?
Yeah, for sure. So we take a lot of pride in our discovery call process, specifically because we bring sort of the idea of we're trying to create value right there in the moment for the entrepreneur, right? And so rather than focus on trying to get somebody through a funnel and a talk track to get them sold, we're really working collaboratively for an hour to figure out who that right fit is for that person. And maybe we're not the people to provide that right fit to them. And that's perfectly fine. We consider it a victory if you just come away with clarity. That's our goal. And the thing that is so telling is that we've had people refer superpowers who aren't even our customers. They've just gone through that discovery call process and said, even in that 1 hour, I got so much value out of the conversation.
Wow.
It put so much specificity and so much thinking, it clarified so much thinking for me that I would recommend that experience alone, that 1 hour to other people. And so, like I said, we take a lot of pride in that process.
Well, I would have to echo that, because when Sarah and I went through that call with your teammate, there was pre-work. There was some assessments, and we jumped on that call and we're like, wow, this is a fantastic experience. So I would be one of those people that, you know, we didn't go forward yet, but I immediately started recommending you. I think you might have chatted with my friend John Giganti.
Yeah.
So I mean, you hear me. I'm already like, you gotta go check these guys out, because I just know your product, and I've spoken to, you know, Chad Johnson and other people that have had just really good experiences. So it's cool. Steven, how does that feel to have a repeatable process? I was just on that page and it was like step one, step two, step three.
Yeah. I mean, it feels great to have a repeatable process. It feels great to have a refined process. It feels good to be referable, because while we may not be everybody's ideal assistant match provider, we can help people get there and help them reach new levels of freedom and growth, even if it's not with us. But when we are the right fit, the ability to do that and do it well and consistently is scalable and highly, highly impactful.
I love it. I love it.
And, yeah. And I have to say, Kerry, that your team and your process that you go through, we've been on the receiving end of experiencing the IP that you've developed in Igniting Souls, and it was absolutely incredible. So superpowered, the book, wow, the idea would still be an idea today if not for the help of you and your incredible team. So we're tremendously grateful for that experience.
Well, let's talk about that, because even today, Sarah and I were on a call, and you probably feel the same way. It's never done. It's never perfect. And I kind of said to Sarah, okay, the ball dropped over here, and I think I could have owned it better, you know, in this one way. And so I want people listening to realize, like, your IP is never going to be perfect. And that's, I think, the lie is like, well, I'll protect it when it's perfect. And yet, if you look at, you're kind of near Waco, Texas, Dr. Pepper. I know, because I visited you. But you look at the Dr. Pepper Museum, their logo when they started to today, massive shift. It went like through here, 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 here. And that's the whole point, that your IP is constantly going through a journey. What would you tell the person who says, I'm going to wait till we're at the perfect place to hire superpowered? We're going to wait to protect our IP. What does waiting do for an entrepreneur?
Well, it just postpones all of the benefits that we've experienced firsthand from having something out in the real world. So a few thoughts. First of all, yes, we've created this growing community of entrepreneurs who've been impacted by the superpowered book and the ideas in it, which is incredibly fulfilling. What I didn't expect is that we've created a more aligned, more effective, more on message team internally by virtue of all of our teammates reading superpowered and understanding the core ideas of the business. So had it not sold a single copy, had it not gone any further than just internally, I still think that it would have been of huge value. And now every new hire we make, that's day one reading that says you are now fully in sync with what it means to be superpowered. So that's hugely valuable. The other thing, I think intellectual property is just such a weighty concept. And I think this is where the mindset shift for me happened, is what other forms of property are perfect? I look around my house and it's got tons of deferred maintenance, right? Ooh, there's all sorts. I need a new roof at some point, but it doesn't detract from my enjoyment of that property or the ability to have people over and have a wonderful time together, right? So I think we need to maybe just kind of look at other forms of property and say, what are our expectations for that? And apply that to intellectual property as well.
I noticed that front bush, that hedge needs to be trimmed.
Thanks, Stephen.
It's beautiful. But
I love that analogy you just said, though, because that's true. The moment you mow your lawn, let's face it, I go to the backyard and I'm like, oh, another leaf fell. It wrecked the lawn. No. You realize that it's constantly being worked on. I look at this book and I see over 100 ratings. It's doing fantastic. By the way, I'm following both of you here and, you know, I've ordered it myself. And how does it feel though to have like audio, ebook, hardcover, soft cover, be blending your IP with strategic coaches in terms of a collaboration? I mean, talk to me, guys.
Well, for me, I would say this is just it's one of many experiences I hope to have over a period of time, right? And it's just a great way to create value for people, a great way to do it on scale, and a really great way to create transformational impact, which is to me, you know, one of the sweetest things of life is to actually have a positive transformational impact in the lives of people. And so I know the people. You know, if you just even look in the back of the book, page 137, the assistant's point of view. We had the assistants write about, you know, their experience as the executive assistant to the entrepreneur who's been superpowered. And it is transformational, not just for the entrepreneur, but for the assistant. And then the superpowered entrepreneur is a transformational leader in their family, not just at work, their transformational home. So the impact of that, and be able to do that on scale, even again, people we may never, ever do business with through a book, through an audio book, with timeless concepts like those of Dan Sullivan and Strategic Coach tied in, is just what a gift. What a gift.
What's that one part in the book that you guys talk about? I thought it was so good, where it's almost like, is it where you're rating yourself? If super stressed to super powered, you have this scale.
Yeah, we have a super powered scale that takes you exactly from super stressed to super powered. So it's this sort of self-assessment, right, of where you fit into your entrepreneurial experience. Are you at the resignation stage? Are you at the desperation stage? Are you at the frustration stage? Are you the delegation stage? Or are you the transformation stage, right? And so we have this whole self-assessment to figure out where you are. And one of the interesting things that we learned in developing that, and again, to the earlier point about putting some rigor around the ideas, is we realized that you can move up and down this scale, right? That it isn't necessarily just one direction, and that it's something that even if you're an experienced entrepreneur or you're a first-time solopreneur, you can be at different stages at different points. And so that was a big unlock for us because, as you might imagine, we're having a lot of conversations with clients who present at one stage, get to the superpower transformational stage, and then something sets them back. Maybe it's in their relationship with their EA, or maybe it's something in business or something personal, right? Yes. Life happens. And they're sort of, you can see them vacillating on this scale, and you know how to help bring them back up.
And not always something happens in their business that sets them back. Sometimes it's actually the growth. One thing that I'm experiencing right now that we're, because of the book, we're thinking as we're going through the process, we're capturing it in a way that could be future IP, right? Which is that our businesses have grown enough where my assistant was starting to get split and thin. So I've added a second assistant, right? I have a project assistant. And then I have an assistant that I've always had as an executive assistant, manages sort of the operations of life, if you will. And so it wasn't because something bad happened. It was just, I was hitting a new ceiling and I didn't want my assistant to go through the same experience trying to be all the things to everybody that I went through before her.
This is so good. I feel like too, once you know yourself a little bit better, you can be a better, I don't know what the word would be. Like, in other words, let me ask you the question. Are there some CEOs, entrepreneurs that are just bad? Not saying that you want to call them bad, but maybe they're not self-aware enough to allow an assistant to take, you know, to be the assistant. There's a question.
Yes. I think it's growth for almost everybody to be able to really get to the highest performing level of that relationship, right? Because fundamentally, like, it's really easy, to borrow some coach terminology here, to get rid of our incompetent tasks, right? Oh, wow. It's really easy to get rid of our competent tasks even. But as we continue to build our team, as we continue to grow skills, as we continue to have better people around us to help work in their unique abilities, it's those excellent tasks that we sort of took pride in maybe that aren't quite our unique ability, but it's still something that we are really proud of because the results are always good and we feel like we're bringing, you know, a lot of our you know, capability to it. And so those are the areas for growth, and we're constantly trying to, you know, get you more and more into your unique ability by virtue of having, in part, you know, this very high leverage executive assistant on your team.
And Kerry, where I'd add to that maybe is just to think of it in a different framework is I think it's my grandpa told me, people are only ready to buy when they're ready to buy. You can't force people into any kind of like sale. And I think ideas are no different, right? I think of even as a believer, I share like my faith, but I'm never going to, even when I accepted my faith, it wasn't because someone forced me to do it. I was ready to receive the idea, receive, in my case, the Savior Jesus, right? And so, but I think that the books and the ideas and sometimes the idea of being a superpowered entrepreneur with a superpowered executive assistant is the same thing. We're not ready to buy until we're ready to buy. I may not be ready. It's too uncomfortable. There's something else I have to deal with. And I'm not a bad person. I just have a blocker because I can't have transformational relationships. Maybe it was a wound that happened with my ex-wife. I really trusted her and I was wounded. And now I don't trust anybody. And so like really including someone into my life in a way that allowed them to serve me, transform me, that becomes a blocker. And again, not bad, but someone's got to get there where they're just ready. They're sick and tired of being sick and tired. And they want something different, right? And which will be uncomfortable. Dan talks about all the time, the four C's. You know, there's a level of courage that's required to make any kind of big transformation.
Wow. This is so true though, because you know, years ago, I didn't think I was worth an assistant. You know, like I think that's a block. I think the trust thing is a block. I think perfectionism is a block. Oh, you know, they can't do it as good as me. But for the assistant for the entrepreneur who does make the shift, I've seen it. I mean, I've seen them been able to blow their exponential impacts, you know, way up. So how much
and to that point, we actually have clients now who have gone through that exact same transformation that you're describing. And they say, like, as a qualifier, I'm not going to work with vendors, partners, other businesses where that person doesn't have that executive assistant support, because I know how important it is to them keeping their business on track, right? So like it's actually changed their expectations of the type of people they'll work with in business.
So here's the secret. This is true. It's true. Yeah, our publishing company, we haven't gone so far to say we won't work with a client, but we all know that the people who struggle with our model are the people who don't have an executive assistant.
Totally.
Because they are the point of contact, they're the bottleneck, and they got too much stuff going on. So that assistant is the buffer. They're the ones who, you know, so very early on, we onboard the executive assistant. And those tend to be the best books. They get out the fastest. And I would attest that you have one, Shannon has one, In fact, I think I told you this once, Stephen. A few months ago, you were on a break or vacation. And one of my assistants said, hey, you know, I'm not going to bug Stephen because he said he was going on break. I said, just send him an email. I said, trust me, his assistant's got it. And sure enough, within minutes, the assistant had it. I'm like, see? In other words, you model, you know, there's that stereotype, the cobbler's kids don't have any shoes. You guys model it.
Well, in my case, I have to. Ryan's pretty talented, but in my case, it takes a whole group of people to get me out of bed and throughout the day.
All right. Didn't you have an intervention? Let's tell the secret. Wasn't there an intervention one time or something?
Yeah. Our team, this is a long time ago, it was back in the insurance business. And we were growing. And I continued to hire for everyone else on the team. And we got to a point where I was like, we're hitting a new ceiling and I'm trying to like figure out who's the next person to add to the team to support so we can get more done with the team. And the team staged an intervention, really. They had a full blown, like, hey, we need to talk to you. And I'm like, okay, am I in trouble? It's like, no, we love you. We appreciate how much you want to support us, but you're the bottleneck on everything.
Wow.
It's like, I was like, and so literally it's so fun because, you know, here we sit today. They took it in their own hands. They're like, we know you love everybody. So we know you're not going to be good at hiring anybody. Right. And so they literally like had an interview, like more of a casting process. People came in to be my executive assistant. And that eventually became Fern, who is one of the
main. Oh, yeah. We've worked with her. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Anyway, so that was the deal. And I had all kinds of things that were blocking me up. I've been told by coach for years to go get an executive assistant, but slow learner, but I got there. And now I have two.
But that's, I love it. I love it. You're sharing the growth journey. And I would say I can be a better delegator now. I was so bad when I first started. My thought of delegation, I'm not even kidding. I feel embarrassed to say this, but I had an assistant at the church and I didn't know what to do with her. So I literally just said, just start a document and send it to me and I'll do the rest. Like that was it. That's how much I knew. Start a document, you know, name a document. And for some reason that's the extent. But now I kind of like shape a project, give the thoughts and then let them figure it out. Who is it who said something like, if somebody else can do it 80%, you know, that's a success. Like, is there ever a time, guys, where, I mean, maybe they bat 110%, but do entrepreneurs need to get to the point where it is 80% or 90, whatever? What do you think?
So I think that helps to have that mindset when it's a process or a project or an outcome that you know very well. Maybe this is excellent territory for
you.
You created it, right? And so maybe you truly are always going to get that extra 20% or 10% to really make it sing. But what I've learned in my own attempts to upskill my delegation capabilities is it's when you describe the ideal outcome you're looking for to your assistant and then let them figure out how to get there. And by definition, their process is going to be 100%. And you can tweak it, you can improve it, you can revise it. But what I have found is that I don't know, there's hubris maybe, there's ego and thinking I've got a lot of pride of authorship in these processes. And what I didn't realize is I was holding onto that as a gatekeeping mechanism to be valuable in the team. And the team was figuring out better, faster, easier ways to get things done that I should have never been in the process writing business to begin with, right?
It's so true. And, you know, Sarah's my integrator. And even today I'm running through thoughts, case studies in my head, but it's like, all I had to do was voice my OCD questions. And then all she had to do was, we got that. And then I'm like, good, you know? So sometimes the assistant is that they're giving you that confidence that we have it. We have your calendar. We have the appointments.
And one way I think you can apply the thinking too. It goes back to what you said, Kerry, which is know thyself, right? Mm. So I know myself. I'm a five fact finder. I'm not going to like always research some. So sometimes, but I do see myself, and I really love, I enjoy my unique abilities to be involved in the wonder and the ideation stage, right? And so knowing that, it's like I'm not delegating, I'm giving enough there that they can do some fact finding for me that feeds my ideation stage, right?
Oh, that's good.
So it, to me, I think the question is like, one, do you know yourself? And then two, are you willing to work in teamwork? Is there a baton pass back and forth? Because really the ultimate goal for me is to get idea to some sort of execution faster, right? Versus getting trapped in, like, oh, I don't want to research it. I need to probably look at this to really know if the idea is any good. And, you know, and I can just spin versus like, boom. And then I have my block time to actually sit down and like be present and think, but I'm like, I'm already ready to go.
And even if your superpower was stapling papers, there's a time to give that up as the CEO. In other words, come on now. Stapling papers is not going to move the world. But as CEO, visionary, there's other things that you can totally move the needle. So you have to delegate. And I'm being silly about stapling papers, but you get my point. There's things that aren't.
Or consider, hey, if you're a stapler, then how do you build the business well enough that you can be in the owner's box? Because, you know, truth is the visionary, the integrator of the business, everything. I mean, there's really important roles that need to be filled in a very serious business. And if your joy in life is putting staples in papers, then you probably need to be in the owner's box, right?
Ah, there you go.
So aspiration, but we got to get there.
I love this. So I know people at about this point, they're like, I'm in, I'm curious. So I love your model. I'm just going to share a couple things that I know about it. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But one of the things that sets you apart beyond anyone that I've ever met, your program, your process, is that you are actually training the executive assistant. And you are not only training them, you're putting them in a community. I mean, it's incredible. Like, these people are not coming as just warm bodies. I mean, they're coming as highly sophisticated, trained people.
And that's all IP, curriculum, our coaching process, the community that they're put in with other fellow executive assistants, the community that entrepreneurs are put into that are all superpowered by virtue of having superpowers assistants. All of that is newfound IP that I don't think we intentionally designed with IP in mind at the time. But again, this mindset shift that's happened, now we're looking for those proactive opportunities. How do we keep getting deeper and wider on this IP moat that we're building?
I love that. That is so cool. So guys, superpowershq.com. They come here, they click the discovery call, boom, they pick a slot. That is the next best step. And while they're waiting for their appointment, get the audiobook, get the ebook, and read it and find the framework. Superpowered, super stressed to superpowered.
Yeah. And one of the coolest things was unexpectedly, but recently I was talking to someone and they said, oh yeah, I was walking with you today. I'm like, what are you talking about? They said, yeah, I had the audiobook on while I was on my walk today.
That is,
oh wow. Things I never expected, right?
That what they should have said is I enjoyed you whispering in my ear today. Then you really
mercifully, my it's Shannon who does the vast majority of the audiobook, which is good for all of us.
Golden voice.
Well, I'll say this, Stephen, you landed on something. I believe that a book is passive impact. In other words, it's so cool to log into your Amazon account and be like, oh my gosh, you know, somebody in Germany, somebody in California. So you literally are changing lives with this book. It's bringing the right people to the website. They're booking calls. You just shared that your company's growing. So I just want to celebrate you guys. And now that your eyes are open to IP, I think you'll honestly keep seeing it everywhere.
For sure.
Thanks for being a part of that journey for us. And like I said, being a crucial who multiple times for me along this path. So thank you.
Hey, you've coached me along the way and we've gotten better. So thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Stephen. And check out Superpowered, and a big shout out to Shannon Waller as well. We'll see you. Take care.
Thanks, Kerry.
Thank you for listening to You Are an IP Company Podcast with Kerry Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Visit instantip.today and caldwelllaw.com for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.